The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Come hop in and let's take a drive back to the past. We'll be back to reality within a flash. I'm your host, Juice Dees, and you're listening to Sneaking Through the Suburbs. The Vulture. Hello, hello. Welcome back to Sneaking Through the Suburbs. I'm your host, Juice Dees, and today is the third episode. And we'll be talking about me, your local burnout. So, being a burnout can be seen as a negative and or a positive thing, but it depends on how you're perceiving it. So, I could say I'm an academic burnout. I definitely did a lot in high school. I was very involved. I was a student athlete. I did a lot. And I think high school has definitely made me become an academic burnout. Since we're talking about being an academic burnout, let's define it. An academic burnout, defined by an article called What is an Academic Burnout? By University of the People. University of the People is an organization that gives advice to college students on how to deal with life while being a college student. They defined academic burnout as negative emotions, physical and mental reaction to prolonged study that results in exhaustion, frustration, lack of motivation, and reduced ability in school. An academic burnout is a person whose stress is stemmed off of school stress. And mental exhaustion is a person whose stress is stemmed off of anything. So it doesn't have to be work or school related. I became an academic burnout within my middle of my high school experience. So that was like sophomore, junior year. I became an academic burnout my junior year, and my sophomore year was my awakening, I guess you could say. So let's just talk about that. So sophomore year was my awakening by the end of the year. So around May, my homeroom teacher had us doing an assignment to gather all the potential colleges you were looking at, categorizing them into three categories. One of them was safety schools, another was desired schools, then lastly, dream schools. So safety schools would be schools you would get in 100%. That's your plan C, that could be your plan B, that's your fallback plan. Desired schools are schools that fit into your ideal college life. So those are your colleges that you really want to go to, that you know you'll get, that you can get into 100%. And so you have dream schools. Schools you want to apply to, but it's not a guaranteed acceptance. So it's like 50-50. And so at the end of that class, my homeroom teacher looked at all of us and said, it's better to plan ahead because the future can go by real fast and all of a sudden you're graduating and not going to college. For the rest of my high school life, that stuck with me. I wasn't a terrible student at all. I was actually a pretty good student my sophomore and freshman year. But I knew that I wouldn't get into any of the colleges I wanted to attend to. I knew that because all the other students in my grade were taking AP classes on top of AP classes, and I only took none. I knew I wanted to get my act together. So when she made us categorize in all the potential schools we wanted to go to, I looked at all the colleges and I categorized it. I looked at my desired schools and they seemed so impossible to reach. I had a vision on how I wanted my college life to be. which what my vision for that life was to be playing D1 or a D2 league for volleyball at a school. But I didn't have any other backup plan that I wanted to do with my life after high school. But not all dreams come true. That dream came crashing down my summer into going to junior year. That dream came crashing down because I played co-ed volleyball over the summer at my club, and we just had this tournament for fun, and I went and I played, and I ended up fracturing my ankle. It was the last tournament of the season of summer ball, and we were in SoCal at the time. So we get done playing, it's around 8 p.m. at night. We're walking back to the hotel. And so we were all running in the hallways in the dark to our rooms, and I trip and I eat it. My ankle becomes fractured. The fractured ankle didn't seem so big at the time. It didn't seem really terrible. So I ended up still finishing out the tournament, babying it, icing it, putting it in a cast, getting it taped up, thinking it'll be all fine and dandy and I would be okay. I was really wrong. My ankle was in so much pain after the tournament, I had to get checked out, and it was a small fracture. It was small, but I don't know why it wasn't healing properly, because I had D1 and D2 offers lined up for the actual season, for my volleyball season that started. And I was so scared for all the scholarships and all the tours I was supposed to go on to, because that was the only dream I had. September rolled by, I still cannot play. I was just on the bench, just watching the team and having all my other teammates getting scouted by the club coaches, by the league coaches, and it was so depressing for me. I just couldn't even be in the environment anymore because it really brought me down. It brought me down solely because the same coaches that were scouting my teammates were the same coaches that gave me offers, and they all withdrew. And I slowly just quit volleyball. I had to make a plan. I had to construct and conduct a plan before the school year ends. Because once the school year ends, you had to do your SAT, ACT, and I couldn't slack off anymore. So in mid-September, I started a plan. I talked to my counselors. I took on so many AP classes at once. I did college classes, all of that. I graduated high school with a 4.2 overall. I was summa cum laude. I was in the running for valedictorian and salutatorian. Took 5 AP classes in total, took 2 college classes while being a junior, was a student athlete but had the mentality as a student athlete, and by the time I got to college, I was already burnt out. I thought college would be just like high school, but you live there. Well, let me tell you, if we have the same thinking, well, we're both wrong, because college is just like taking so many AP classes at once. At once. Can you imagine that? Taking four AP classes at once. They are so stressful. You barely get any sleep. Always studying. Don't have a social life. And have a hard time making friends. Well, I have a hard time making friends, especially since I'm an introverted person. Honestly, I left my social life back in my sophomore year in high school, so I didn't really have a social life coming into college. I became so burnt out at the point where I was lost with myself, since I only knew what I wanted to do and what I dreamt of doing my whole life. that I was so caught up when I needed to make a decision of what school I wanted to attend to soon. My dreams, the dreams I kept dreaming for 7 years, came crashing and burning down. I lost myself within that because I didn't go through the tunnel of emotion. I didn't fully process it. But I never put into perspective that my emotions are tunnels. In this podcast I've been listening to on Spotify, it's called Unlocking Us with Brené Brown. And on this episode, there are twins on it, and their names are Emily and Amelia Nagoski. And they talk about burnt out, what causes burnout, what it does to our bodies, and how we can move through the emotional exhaustion. It's a great listen if you're wanting to know more about it. Great listen. I love the episode. Thanks to them, I never really saw my emotions as tunnels. And I always saw my emotions as a door. You go through it. Once you go through it, you close it. You're done with it. No. Emotions are tunnels. You have to go through it. And I didn't have enough time to fully go through that tunnel again, because I never wanted to quit on my dream. But I needed to do what I needed to do, which was to make a decision of what school I wanted to attend to. But ultimately, I did it for myself. As I finished all my college applications, I realized that I can bounce back from anything, especially since I was so determined. I couldn't fully feel the emotion because everything was so go, go, go. I couldn't go through that emotion because I couldn't get myself to have to sit down and think about what just happened and what just occurred to me, because then I would be so lost in with myself that I wouldn't be able to get myself out. But now looking back at it, I think I became a stronger person. I became a stronger person mentally and emotionally. I was so determined to go to a good school, even though my dreams came crashing and burning down. I realized that I can bounce back from anything, especially since I was so determined. As I am still your local burnout, but I am the best version of myself. I am still determined to be the best version of myself, especially through every obstacle I will face. I will not let any obstacle bring me down mentally and physically, especially since I went through so much in a short span of time. And I always speak this into existence whenever I feel stuck at something or when I feel very down. And this is why I say, I will be resilient with anything thrown at me. Being resilient will always benefit you into becoming a stronger mentally and physically individual. And that is it for today. I'll see you guys next week. It's your host. Next week on Sneaking in the Suburbs, episode 4, we'll be talking about sibling love. We'll be diving and digging deeper into me and my siblings' relationship. Yes, I'm the youngest amongst 3 other siblings. See you next week.